reimagine, to imagine again or anew, to form a new conception of, recreate. What is church to you? Is it a list of rules or a closed group of like-minded people? Is it a fond memory of your childhood, but something you don't need or have time for now? Maybe it's only for the rural, heartland of America. At Abba's House, we're reimagining church. We wondered what it would be like if everyone was welcome, from the homeless to the highest executive, from the child to the seasoned adult, from those who are still struggling with addictions to those who have overcome their setbacks. This is the new Abba's House. Lead pastor Ronnie Phillips has a bright new vision for the future. Our kids' spaces are getting a makeover. Our students have fun and learn life lessons at the same time. Small groups for all ages help you get connected and find friends to do life with. Musical opportunities are available for every generation. And serving Chattanooga is our passion. We'll pray for you, love you, and help you find a meaningful relationship with God. Check us out online, download our app, and come give us a try as we reimagine what church is. Come experience a house of grace. Come experience Abba's House.
Hello, friends and partners. This is Pastor Ronnie, lead pastor here at Abba's House. We want to invite you to join us for our program today. I'm going to be talking about the transition between Moses and Joshua. You know, I've always been a fan of juniors. Hank Williams Jr., Dale Earnhardt Jr. I've always admired people that grew up in the shadow and that had to walk in their own shoes and had to do things that God was calling them to do or had gifted them to do. And so we're going to talk about someone who had to follow a mighty man. Joshua had to follow a mighty man, but he did it because he had boldness and he was courageous. And I want to teach you today how you can be bold and courageous in your walk with God. I hope you'll enjoy this message.
When we speak life, things change. Sometimes you only need one person, one friend, to say, you can do this. So listen to your pastor today as I say, you can do this. Now let's do this. I'm going to explain what God is specifically calling us to do today. But He's calling us to walk after the things of His Son. Moses and Joshua learned how to believe, receive, and achieve greatness. The Israelites are about to cross the Jordan into their promised land, on the verge of fulfillment in Joshua chapter 1. But they needed a word. They needed a word that would remind them of where they've been. The years in the wilderness, the years in bondage, the years in slavery. That word would be a reminder of where they've been, but it would propel them into the future that God had for them. They needed power to press through to the blessing of God. Moses led them out of bondage, but Yeshua is leading them into their blessing. You see, God leads you out of bondage, but He doesn't want you just to stay in recovery mode. He's got a blessing for you. God's got a blessing for you. He's got milk and honey for you. He's got victory for you. He's got territory for you. He's got strategy for you. God's got things He wants to do with you, but you've got to get beyond yourself and receive the word of God. After the death of Moses, Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Everybody say a promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You need to understand, as we went to Deuteronomy, when Moses names him as his successor, you see some of the same language. Why? Because God, when he does a new thing, he never forgets the roads that you traveled to get to where you are. He would repeat the words of his mentor, but he would give new life, new words, new destiny, and a new vision. He says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong. What does that word strong mean? It means to grow. It means to prevail. It means to make strong. It means to make firm. It means to restore. It means to keep a hold of. Be strong and of good courage. Courage in the Hebrew text here means to be alert, to take hold of the promise God has given you, and be alert so that when the enemy tries to steal your dream and steal your destiny and steal your promise, you'll know where he is and how to defeat him. You'll know when to put your armor on. You'll know when to fight and when to speak faith and when to walk and when to back down and when to call your boys and call your teammates. And you'll know when and how to defeat the strategy of the enemy. Be strong and be courageous. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, here we are again, and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't forget where you came from. Everybody say, don't forget where you came from. The reality is today, Pastor Ken spoke of the tragic death of that young girl, but the reason I'm doing it is because I don't forget my friends. And her brother was there for me when few were. And I tell you, if there's one thing about a Phillips, it's that we're loyal to a fault. And I remember where I came from. And I remember where the people that were there when many weren't. And I'm telling you, the church needs to be that way. I tell you, we need to remember people who were there when others weren't, people who gave and sacrificed and served and spoke faith into us when others wouldn't. There's power in that. There's power in that. He says, listen, don't forget the law of God. Don't forget what you learned from Moses. Don't forget all the good things that you received from me in the wilderness. And don't forget how I led you out of bondage. And don't forget those things. And God's saying to us today, don't forget the lessons that I've taught you, the places that I've sent you, the miracles I've performed in front of you. Don't forget those things. My words are very simple this morning. Let's do this. Now is the time. It's our time. There will never be another season like we are in today. There'll never be another time exactly like this one. The world is filled with stories of missed opportunities. They're around every dinner table, every Christmas dinner, there are people who had an opportunity to invest in this business, or had an opportunity to create this, or had an opportunity to buy a farm back in 1878, and they'd be millionaires now. Well, I tell you, it's time to quit living back there. And let's be courageous. Let's be alert for the things God has for us today. Let's be wise in how we strategize. Let's know what God's saying. Let's see opportunities for prosperity, growth, and success, and souls. God's going to show us what to do. Let's do this. We've got to reach more people and disciple them so they'll feel the same way you do, so that they'll see the value in the kingdom of God, in his body, in his bride. They'll understand theologically that Jesus is coming back for his people. We've got to let people know there's good news. They don't have to live in misery. They don't have to live under the bondage of Pharaoh, this world system, this demonic system. They don't have to stay in slavery. They don't have to wander in the wilderness because of a lack of faith. But there's a promised land called the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There is a kingdom. And it's not the world system, it's the kingdom of God. And it's so hard to explain, but you know it once you've walked in it. And you know people who know it and who live in it. You can tell. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. I believe God's calling us to kingdom. Let's do this. Let's do what, Pastor Ronnie? Let's speak faith, number one. Everybody say, speak faith. When I study the life of Moses, I see great faith, great failure, and great foresight. Moses was a miracle called to greatness. Despite his speech, God salvaged his life as a young man, called him, used him. He used him through the spoken word, and he stuttered. But he still spoke faith. I don't care what you've been told about yourself, you can speak faith. You can believe for more. You can encourage somebody. You can be there. Don't let the devil system tell you you can't do it and you're not good enough. It's time we do this. He was not eloquent, but he spoke faith. The Bible says the spirit of faith is to believe and to speak. If you've got faith, you're going to speak faith. Amen? Somebody say, speak faith. Moses spoke that God would raise up a prophet and the people would listen. Moses said, do not worship any other God but the Lord, but he is a jealous God. He spoke faith and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. He commanded this truth be passed down to the generations. As I read to you in Deuteronomy 31, he spoke faith into the generations that were to come. He spoke faith into his successor. When's the last time you looked at someone who had a gift and spoke faith into their gift? In the kingdom of God, we're too busy trying to protect our gift. And it's time you start speaking faith into other people's gifting so that when you're gone, the kingdom will live on till Jesus comes back. There's too much insecurity in the kingdom of God. Moses spoke faith into the next generation. He gives a rally cry for the future of Israel. He blesses each tribe in Deuteronomy chapter 33. We must do this. He says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you. Somebody listen to this. He will destroy them. Quit worrying about the people against you. Stop worrying about the haters and the people who are against you. You already have been promised that God's going to destroy them. Listen, I've seen some of my biggest opponents be transformed into some of my biggest encouragers over the last 20 years. And you know when that process started? When I started ignoring them. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Stop trying to fix every situation. Stop trying to be Jesus and just follow God. Cross your personal Jordan and other people will come along, but you can't be worried about making sure everybody's walking. You've got to walk first and the people will follow. But you've got to do what God's called you to do. You've got to speak faith. So Israel will live in safety. Jacob will dwell secure in a land of grain and new wine where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will tread on their heights. Isn't that good? Speak faith. Number two, reject fear. Reject fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. You got to reject fear. Listen, crossing the Jordan, crossing the Red Sea, those things can be very dangerous and scary. Starting your own business can be dangerous. Sharing your faith with somebody who may curse you out and who may know more about the Bible than you can be scary. But you got to reject fear. God is in charge of the results. You're in charge of the faith. For to each one he's given a measure of faith, Romans would say. You've got the faith that you need to do what God has called you to do. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You've got to speak faith. You've got to believe God. You've got to reject fear. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of what God's already promised you. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of what God has already promised you. Be who God's called you to be. Say what he says to say. Go where he says to go. Love who he says to love. Don't worry about the haters. You wouldn't be where you are without them. You won't get to where you're going without them. But keep pressing forward to the things God has for you. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You want God's process to take over your life, that process of love and transformation. The Bible says fear stands in the opposition to your transformation. So you can't be all that God's called you to be if you're in fear. Let perfect love drive that fear out. That'll happen when you understand your mission. You understand the mindset you have to have. You'll have the mindset and God will walk you through your mission. But it first starts in the mind. That's how the enemy comes in anyways, is through your mind. That's how strongholds are created. It's a house of wrong thinking. The enemy wants to come into your mind and he wants to twist you up and get you to think things that aren't true, believe things that aren't true, think everything's your fault, and think you deserve the bad things that happened to you. And those are all lies from the pits of hell to keep you where you are, to keep you from crossing into the promises of God. You've got to rebuke those, deny those, move past those, and inherit the blessing that God has for you. God wants to do something supernatural. Joshua chapter 3, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. So there was protocol and authority and submission and faith and action. Don't break protocol. Continue to submit to authority as you walk by faith and reject fear. See, what happens in the charismatic movement, people get caught up in the clouds and the tingles and the emotional giggles, and all of a sudden they hear from God three times and then they think they know more than everybody else. You don't. God's got a specific assignment for you, but there's order. God's told you something that's not my vision, and he better tell me. Because we're not doing what you want to do, we're doing what I'm called to do, because I'm the leader until God removes me. And the vision is grace, generosity, greatness, and glory. It better fit in those four, because that's where we're going. And that's what God's called us to do. It says that the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground in verse 17. And Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This was the first of many victories Joshua would experience. And all the victories that he would experience, that the people of Israel would walk through, have spiritual semblance, spiritual principles. These principles must be applied to our journey. You can write them down or you can put them in your phone or however, but the first thing that we see, because Joshua is the type and shadow of Jesus, everybody say Yeshua. First thing we see is acceptance through Rahab the prostitute, who hides the spies, who preserves the plan. The first thing God wants you to realize is that you've been accepted by him. Regardless of what you've done, where you've been, the sins you've committed, you've been accepted by God, because his grace is greater. His message is that of love, which we'll talk about next week. But do you understand that you are not disqualified from the kingdom of God? You are not disqualified from the promises of God. You are not disqualified from the blessing of God. You ask God to forgive you and you are accepted by Jesus. The next is faith. The Jordan River's cross, faith is renewed. Again, Moses crossed the what? A few Bible students in here from VBS, days of old, the Red Sea. Now the new leader has to cross the Jordan. Both of them had to cross. Both of them had to cross. God's never going to be finished while we're on this earth with obstacles for you. He's maturing you. He's bringing you into perfection. And so when you go through difficult times, God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach you something. Acceptance, faith, peace. It promises us rest. That's what happened. Spiritual rest. They'd never entered into his rest. They never knew a home. They'd been in the wilderness. And now they're able to experience his rest. Do you understand when you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you enter into his rest? I can't explain it, but I can feel it. When you're tired, you still feel like you've had a good night's sleep. When you hear the worship starts to move in this place and you hear the instruments and then you hear God's word and you start to pray and you feel rested. When you shouldn't feel rested. Anybody been there? Holy Spirit gives you rest and rejuvenates your soul. refreshes your mind. Spiritually, that's what it represents. Promise not only of acceptance, faith, and peace, but of victory. Remember when they doubted and they lost it to Ai and then they defeated Ai? God promises you victory. Whatever you're struggling with, I declare victory over it this morning. Those of you watching on the internet, whatever you're dealing with, I declare victory over you this morning. Whatever bondage, whatever sin, whatever struggle, whatever demonic activity, I declare you have been given the keys to the kingdom and you have victory over that sin, over that struggle, over that wrong mindset, over that curse that's been spoken of you. You've been given the victory over it. You may have doubted it, but God's forgiven you. He's restored you and you have the victory over whatever you're struggling with this morning. Spiritual renewal, Jericho falling, holy ground, and finally, our inheritance. Our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Oh, it's an eternity in heaven. Oh, it's being filled with the Holy Spirit and having the gifts in full operation. It's having moments where Jesus actually speaks and walks and lives through your flesh. And it can't be explained. It's miracles, it's rest, it's victory. It's the power of God and the purpose of God. It's our inheritance. Let's do this. Speak faith, reject fear, mobilize and prioritize. Number three, what does that mean? The Israelites were to secure and occupy the land God had promised them. Abba's house, we must secure and occupy our city. The Israelites marched and had a strategy. We must be willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel and have a strategy. They had a plan for the desert, North Lebanon, Euphrates River, and the Mediterranean Sea, north, south, east, and west. We must believe God for every part of our city. And that involves you. Let's do this. The Israelites held on to the blessing. We must hold on to the blessing of God. Doesn't matter how many years it's going to take. Doesn't matter how long we've been waiting. We got to believe God that He'll make us a great nation and that He'll keep His promises to us and give us the things that we've dreamed about and had visions about. We've got to mobilize and prioritize. 1 John 5, verse 4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Number four, let's be committed to the vision. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness. You know, that some of them longed to go back into bondage. Sometimes the Christian walk's not easy. And some of them are saying, "We'd rather be, we could eat better if we were under Pharaoh." Yeah, you get the daylights beat out of you too, as a slave. And some people never enter all the way into the kingdom of God. They get their toes wet. They get their feet wet. Might go knee deep. But most people never experience all of God because they see a Jordan in front of them. They see a Red Sea in front of them. They see an obstacle. The voices start to get to them. But if we're going to be and do all that God's called us to do, we got to go all the way down. We got to get all the way in. We've got to drink from the well that won't run dry, the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. God's promised us some things, but you can't play with God. We got to be all in. Everybody say, let's do this. They had to occupy the land. The vision was always about intimacy with God. You look at this story from Deuteronomy to Joshua, you see intimacy in the wilderness, intimacy in persecution, intimacy in abuse, intimacy in slavery, intimacy during the conception of it, the chaos of it, and the conclusion of it. Intimacy. When's the last time you just had a good cry with God? A good shout. Some of you got it this morning, amen. I tell you, don't neglect intimacy. I believe God's called us here at Abba's House to be a family, passionately pursuing the heart of the Father in all we do, sharing His love with everyone and helping them find their purpose. I believe we exist to live out God's grace in a fallen world so that people can live set free into their God-given purpose. I believe our mission statement, our "Let's Do This" message, is that we have a Heavenly Father who loves you and created us to live fully alive. That's what God's called us to do. That's the message He's called us to give to this city. We've got to give it. Everybody say, let's do this. Finally, and I'll close with this. Do what, Pastor Ronnie? Let's hold on to the promise. Let's hold on to the promise. Abraham was given a promise that was theirs and to the generations to come. And it is now ours as the one new man. We have been promised victory, rest, the defeat of our enemies, an inheritance which includes no more bondage, no more heaviness, no more fear, no more restlessness, and no more vulnerability. We've got to hold on to the promise. Remember that old hymn, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King? I tell you, we need to hold on to the promise of God. How many of you have started to let promises slip through your hands? Today, that word strong means to take hold of. Be strong and courageous. Take hold of the promises of God. Take hold of the things grandmother spoke. Take hold of the things your daddy spoke. Take hold of the things your preacher spoke. Take hold of the things your friend spoke when they came by to speak life into you. Take hold of those things.
We're just a few months away from college football season, and many of you know I'm a Florida State Seminoles fan. We have a new coach, and the Florida State Seminoles slogan this year is do something. Hashtag do something. And that's what this message is all about. It's about doing something. Let's do this. If God's put a dream in your heart, start working towards it. If God's called you to greater things, do something about it. Don't just sit idly by while the world just moves on. God's got a purpose for you, and I hope today's message encouraged you. I hope you'll partner with our ministry. Help us get this message to the ends of the earth.
At Abba's House, we're reimagining church. Lead Pastor Ronnie Phillips has a bright new vision for the future. Our kids' spaces are getting a makeover. Our students have fun and learn life lessons at the same time. Small groups for all ages help you get connected and find friends to do life with. Musical opportunities are available for every generation. And serving Chattanooga is our passion. Check us out online, download our app, and come give us a try as we reimagine what church is. Come experience a house of grace. Come experience Abba's House.
This program was made possible by the generous donations from friends and partners of Abba's House Media. Connect with us today on our website, through the Abba's House app, and through social media. Thanks for watching.